You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the UW-Madison Adapted Fitness Program helps people with a range of disabilities maintain active lifestyles, and the benefits of the classes reach beyond the clients who are enrolled. We'll hear from a student volunteer who works in that program.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. There was a lot of election news this week, with Governor Scott Walker announcing he's running for a third term. There were also elections across the country on Tuesday. It was a successful night for Democrats, which prompted the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee to add more districts to their list of battlegrounds for next year's midterms. One of those additions is Wisconsin's 1st District, represented by House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to look back at the week's biggest news. Rob, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Well, all right, Paul Ryan's district, not exactly a nail-biter the last couple of elections, but National Democrats are saying this could be a battleground district. What's behind that?
Sure, well, so this comes out of this big memo that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee released after the elections this week, which were sort of a Democratic sweep in the states that had elections, though Wisconsin was not one of those. It has to be understood as a little bit of chest thumping by Democratic campaign people. That doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't true. They have some polling data on the, quote, huge enthusiasm gap between Democrats and Republicans, and that is something that, I mean, really, it's that is consistent with just our anecdotal experience, right? It's plain to see without the polling data. And there are other data points pointing in this direction. So the upshot is that this could mean that Paul Ryan, the Republican Speaker of the House, could face a tougher reelection than what he's been used to. Could he actually lose his seat? It's like hard to imagine, but that it is also the sort of thing that is hard to imagine until it becomes a thing that can happen.
And tell us about Paul Ryan's Democratic challengers so far, anyway.
Sure. So this is definitely one factor here is there's a guy named Randy Bryce who has gotten a ton of media attention and raised a ton of money. He is an iron worker and a union member, and he's, you know, sort of able to say things like Paul Ryan ought to try working construction and I'll take his job, which is a popular message for people who don't care for Paul Ryan. He's the other Democratic candidate in the race is the Janesville School Board member Kathy Myers, who is a local elected official. She doesn't have nearly the money or the media profile, and that primary actually isn't until August, if you can believe it.
And then there's new reporting this week on Democratic challenger Randy Bryce from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel regarding child support payments. What's in the news?
Right. This was, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported Bryce had been behind in paying child support for his ex-wife for about 2 years. He finally paid up just after he became a candidate. It really wasn't that much money. He paid off a little over $1,200 this year to get right in the payments. The campaign basically says, you know, he fell behind when money was tight. That's something that a lot of people can relate to, and that he talked to his ex-wife, and they always made sure that their kids' needs were met. But it looks bad, and I think it is something that we will likely hear more about if Bryce does become the candidate.
Then on the Republican side, of course, there's Paul Ryan, and then he had a primary challenger last time around, and some pro-Trump Republicans were making a lot of noise about that challenger because they didn't think Paul Ryan had been sufficiently pro-Donald Trump himself. That ended up being a blowout. That primary wasn't a big road bump for Paul Ryan. Any thought that we could see something like that this year, though?
Right. So he'll have a primary challenge again, and it's very hard to imagine that it wouldn't be a blowout in the Republican primary again. To the extent that the sort of Trumpist base, Breitbart and others had a problem with Paul Ryan, it was during in the period of the Republican primary elections. Since Donald Trump has become president, Paul Ryan has had no significant criticism of him as president or his policies at all. I mean, I think that there's not much space there, and so it's a little hard to see how that that particular, you know, he could sort of lose the Trump base in that way.
And then one huge bombshell this week, and of course I don't want to overlook, Rob, Governor Walker officially announced that he's running for re-election. We weren't ready for this, were we?
Sure.
We didn't know this was coming.
Yeah.
This is out of nowhere.
We had assumed, as we always do, that most politicians just prefer to leave power, and Scott Walker is not someone who has ever shown much ambition. It was quite a surprise all around. But apparently, the political world will have to adjust.
Rob Metzer is with us from USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at some of the top stories in Wisconsin politics. Staying with elections, Rob, new study from the Center for American Progress shows black voter turnout in Wisconsin dropped about 19% in last year's election compared to the 2012 presidential election. What do you make of that figure?
So that's an enormous number. This is another case where the data comes from an organization that has a partisan motivation. So it's good to take that specific number with a grain of salt. But on the other hand, the data here appears to be pretty solid. For instance, they used voter files, which are publicly available and which show whether a registered voter at a given address showed up or not to vote. And given the unfortunate fact that our neighborhoods are still pretty segregated by race in America, and certainly in Wisconsin, the ability to estimate voter turnout by ethnic group is a reasonable. It becomes fairly reasonable, and I think that the idea of a big drop off is also pretty consistent with what people suspected and had heard. The big question here is, to what extent this is attributable directly to voter ID laws, or to what extent black voters didn't connect with the presidential candidates.
And how do we compare in Wisconsin, again, using this particular method with other states in the country?
Right. That's exactly it. That there's a much larger drop off in African American turnout in Wisconsin, which the key difference is it had a voter ID law in 2016, which it did not in 2012. So there's no demographic reason why African American voters in Michigan would have turned out at such a higher rate or seen such a lower drop-off than Wisconsin, but that appears to be the case.
Finally, I want to move on to an economic story. The Oshkosh Common Council approved a proposal to sell part of a city-owned golf course, and then this has to do with the Oshkosh Corporation getting incentives to build a headquarters there. Can you give us some background on that story?
Right. So Oshkosh Corporation is a massive employer. They make military vehicles. They are a Fortune 500 company with something like 14,000 employees all over the world. And by the name, you might guess, they are located in Oshkosh and have been it's been over 100 years. It's a little bit mysterious, but the word has been that Oshkosh Corporation is looking at the possibility of moving its headquarters. And so city leaders, as you might imagine, have been a little bit freaked out about that and really do not want to see this large employer leave. We don't know. Oshkosh Corporation apparently has not told anyone what other sites it might be considering or what it would take to keep the company in Oshkosh. But in the meantime, and our reporter in Oshkosh, Nate Beck, has been reporting on all of this, the city council has voted to sell a big portion of this public golf course to the company, and then offer about $13 million in tax incentives and infrastructure and aid to the company, in the hopes that when they do decide on this at their board meeting this month, they'll decide to stay.
And this would have a huge impact on Oshkosh, it sounds like, if the company, the Oshkosh Corporation, were to leave.
Right. I mean, this is the headquarters, so there are also some manufacturing jobs. This is the corporate head, but we're looking at 500 jobs and upwards of that would leave. And as well, it's just this it's this identity thing, right? It's a major employer in Oshkosh that there's a lot of pride around that employer too.
And then, of course, we're watching the Foxconn deal here in Wisconsin. The state's Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation approved the $3 billion incentive package. It's on a larger scale, clearly, this incentive than what we're seeing in Oshkosh, but otherwise compare and contrast.
Yeah, it just makes you think. I mean, to some extent, it feels like it's the companies that sort of hold all the power in these cases, and there's no way it's a bit of a race, as it was with Foxconn, when Wisconsin was apparently in competition with Michigan and other states, and so the public officials need to put together these what sound like very large, you know, incentive packages to me, certainly in Foxconn, the largest ever, and it just feels like there's no like, what are you supposed to do if you're the elected official and a company is threatening to leave? It would almost feel like you would have to throw all these resources at it.
Rob, thanks as always, and have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau, and he joins us each week to look at some of the top stories in Wisconsin news.